looking at the good news. Do we believe it's the good news? We actually have good news for people. The world might try and argue that, but the truth is, Jesus came to bring the good news. And in this particular part of the Bible, in this particular gospel, we have first three witnesses, the author himself, Mark. Then he quotes the Old Testament prophets. And finally, we have John the Baptist. And if that's not enough, we move quickly to the baptism of Jesus, where the witness is the Father speaking and the Holy Spirit coming descending upon Jesus. What we're doing here from this particular perspective is seeing a flag unfurl. All through history, the prophets have carried this banner of God. God saves, God cares, God loves, and we will see his Savior. And finally, the last Old Testament prophet, and he's a cracker, John the Baptist, because he does the whole lot, you know, he wears all the right clothing, he has all the right beard, goes and tells people about hellfire and brimstone, and he gets to unfurl that banner to show the Savior is here. An incredible event. And what's very exciting for me is when you read this, he comes and he preaches and he says, the kingdom of God is near, repent and be baptized. And you know, if you read through the Old Testament and you get to Leviticus 16, you have this thing called Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, where one person goes in and does an atonement for the whole of the people. And you go, well, okay, I've been covered. I've been atoned for. But God instructs John the Baptist, and you know, being a Baptist preacher, he's close to my heart. And he says, don't just rely upon religion. Don't just rely upon, oh, I'm religious. I've been part of that. I'm covered. No, don't let religion get in the way of faith. And so he says to these people, come and be baptized. And they do that. These, particularly the males, these were all good old circumcised Jews. They'd been covered by all the various times that people had sacrificed animals. They were under the Day of Atonement for Yom Kippur. But still, God says, no, no, don't just rely upon religion. Have that personal relationship. Come and demonstrate it personally. And they do. They go wandering out into the wilderness and they go meet him and he baptizes them. Because the heart means more than just religious activity. Believe and be baptized. And the next thing Mark records is he records the actual baptism of Jesus. And in the baptism of Jesus, what we see is a declaration that Jesus is the true Son. And he does three things by getting baptized. First of all, he's obedient. He goes and does what the Father asks. Of all the people who've ever been born on earth, the one person who does not need to be baptized is Jesus himself. He never sinned. Baptism, you know, repent and be baptized. Well, he doesn't need to repent, so he didn't need to be baptized. But he did it anyway. Why? Well, the first one is because he's been obedient to what the Father's asked him to. So the question is led is, why did the Father want him to be baptized? Well, the second part of it is he wants to be associated. It's a great leader in anybody who says to you, I'm not going to ask you to do something I wouldn't be prepared to do myself. And Jesus is expecting each and every one of his followers to be baptized. To publicly make that declaration. Sometimes an embarrassing declaration. But he says, I'm not going to say you should do something I haven't done. I will show the way. And when you are declaring baptism, theologically what you're doing is declaring that you've accepted my death and resurrection. That's what we now know. But what he was demonstrating is saying, listen, I'm going to show you that I am as human as you are. The very thing that will bring some sort of physical representation of what's taking place in your heart, I'm going to go through. Because I want you to know I'm with you. And then the third part, it says on verse 12, at once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. Now, Mark is a brilliant gospel to read. Very short, written to the Romans, particularly. It wasn't aimed specifically at the Jewish, but written to the Romans. And everything is, it's just done fast. He doesn't like take a few days. It's at once. And the Holy Spirit pushes him out into the wilderness. And there, and it's obviously recounted in far more detail in the other Gospels, he is tested. He's out there for 40 days. He fasts. And at the end of the 40 days, we find that he's tested and that Satan, the accuser, comes and tries to basically get him to bypass the whole system. Take the easy route. You've got the power. And you've got the authority, use it to bypass the hard stuff you've got coming up. You're allowed to do that, he says. Take the easy route. Just listen to what I've said. It's all you have to do. It's interesting to notice that Satan hasn't changed his tune since the Garden of Eden. All I want you to do is just listen to me and do as I say. Don't listen to God. Jesus, don't listen to the Father. But Jesus refutes and challenges and sends Satan packing. So what does he manage to do at the end of 40 days whilst he's struggling, while he's weak? When he's being tested, he proves he is up to that test and overcomes it. He is the tested son. He is the true son. God says, the Father says at the baptism, this is my son who I love and I'm well pleased. The Father says everything is going according to plan. And then Jesus goes out and is tested in the wilderness. And at the end of it, everything is still going according to plan. I can tell you're all so excited about that. But that is good news for you and I. Because the Saviour, as promised, is the Saviour we see. And we see that this flag unfurled by the last of the Old Testament prophets says, this is the bloke you should be listening to. Because I'm using water, and water's great. It's a great symbolic thing to have. And we still should use that. But compared to what he's going to be doing, I baptize you with water. He's baptizing you with the Holy Spirit. That's good news. Because each and every one of us who have committed our lives, who have come to that position and said, Lord, I need to have forgiveness in my life. Each and every one of us who said, I've accepted, Lord, that you died on the cross. You were God's Savior. And you were resurrected. Also now have the blessing of Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Well, Holy Spirit in past times had empowered and come down specifically for specific reasons. Now he comes and dwells with each and every one of us. So we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that means, that's great, because it means that the sinful lives that we were held and bound by no longer have to hold us and no longer have to bind us. And now it just becomes an illusionary game where Satan pretends he has authority and power, but he doesn't have either. And tries to persuade us that we are just continually trapped, which just isn't true. And now we know that because of the good news of Christ, and because of Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we are sealed towards God. And so the tested son, the associated son, the obedient son, effectively comes with this banner unfurled and goes, the good news of the kingdom of God is here. And goes up and starts calling his disciples. Now we know from other gospels that they'd met him previously, but now he actually says, come, follow me. He announces the good news. This is the time. Come and discover what the kingdom is about. And the banner of God is unfurled. And he says, come stand under this with me. And he calls the disciples and they leave everything. And off they go with him. What a great opener. How cool is that for the start of a new year? To remind ourselves exactly who the God is that we follow and what he did for us and how he demonstrated that. And what do these good Jewish boys do? So they go, yeah, we'll stick with the old system. They go, no, this is the real thing. This is what everything else has been pointing to. We finally get it. The temple, yeah, great. But it's not bigger than God himself. I'm prepared to say, I'm not going to let religion get in the way of my faith. And they drop everything. They give everything for the good news. The good news is that our sins have been overcome and they've been forgiven. And that you and I now have that freedom. It's so encouraging getting to hear the testimonies of people. And it's a great prayer. Let me become the woman, the man you would have, the person you would have me be. Because all through time, God has known what he has created you to be. And all really we're doing is coming into alignment with what he's always known. That's the good news. And so each and every one of us, as we go into 2024, let's take this and say, Lord, allow that good news to be part of my life. Allow me to be so excited by it that everything I have is going to be given for that good news. Allow me to stand not only under that banner, but putting my hand on it to share that with you. And just as you've been baptized, I will believe that as well. I'll be baptized. I'll demonstrate publicly. Let that be our prayer that we'll follow just as the disciples did. Thank you.